If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me, please, to the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations in chapter number 3. We'll be looking at several passages of Scripture in chapter 3 and elsewhere in the Word of God as well, but I hope I can convey the thought that the Lord has put on my heart. I have read entirely this morning again through the book of Lamentations. And I would encourage you to do the same if you can. Find some time today just to read the 5 chapters. Jeremiah is one that is known as the weeping prophet. And he has some thoughts on his heart concerning Judah, concerning the nation. He has a real burden on his heart. And I believe that what America needs more than a change in politics, I believe it needs a change in hearts. And I believe that judgment, the Word of God said, must first begin at the house of God. If you'll stand with me and just reverence the Word of God, I'll just read one verse of Scripture for the sake of time, and then we'll begin to examine what Jeremiah is experiencing in the book of Lamentations. The Word of God said in verse 51 of chapter 3, "Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city." Would you read it with me, please? "Mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city." You can be seated. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the word of the living God. And thank you, Father, for this man of God, Jeremiah. And thank you, Lord, today that as we begin this new year, Lord, that we can allow what we see to have an effect on our heart. And Lord, I pray that we would turn our hearts towards heaven, turn our hearts towards home. And Lord, some would say that God's people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. But Lord, we know that you have told us to set our affections on things above and not on things on the earth. And God, that's the way we can do the most good, our Father, is to be a reflection of your grace and a reflection of your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Turn with me quickly to the book of Jeremiah chapter number 9, please. Jeremiah chapter number 9, I'd just like to introduce the message today. There's just two main points that I want to give you in the message. But just by way of introduction, I want to look at this man, Jeremiah, and where he is in the book of Lamentations. The Word of God said in chapter 9, verse number 1, "Oh, that my head were waters, mine eyes a fountain of tears." We might ask ourselves the question, I mean this today, where's our tears? What do we weep over? You say, Pastor, I'd like to see the days of old. I'd like to see the move of God. I'd like to see an old-fashioned revival. I believe it comes with a price. I believe it comes with a burden. And I believe that Jeremiah has that burden on his heart. He said, "Oh, that my head were waters, mine eyes were a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord." As we look at our country this morning, as we look at our land, is there a burden? Does our eye affect our heart? We think about our children. We think about our grandchildren. We think about the days ahead. How we need to allow our eye to affect our heart. In Matthew chapter 16, I want to read a verse of Scripture. And I think it's worthy of thinking about. When Jesus, in verse 13 of Matthew 16, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, what I'm trying to tell you is that we're not just looking at Jeremiah as an example, but we're looking at Jesus. Jesus, when he looked at the city of Jerusalem, he wept over it. He cried, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem." Now watch in verse number 14. And they said, and we might ask ourselves the question, why are they saying these things? Some say that thou art John the Baptist. Why would they say that he's John the Baptist? I believe because he had a boldness about him. Say amen. Jesus, we tried to teach our teenagers this morning the difference between boldness and arrogance. John the Baptist wasn't an arrogant man. He wasn't pointing at himself, but he was standing and declaring the truth and pointing at the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. So some said you're John the Baptist. Some said Elias or Elijah. No wonder, because of the miracles that Jesus did. But look what the Word of God said here. And others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. I believe there were others that got in on the brokenness of the Lord Jesus, on his time weeping over the condition of mankind. In the message today, I'm going to examine just two things. And I hope and pray that God can get these thoughts across that we can see and that will affect our heart. The first thing I want to look at today in the Word of God is man's misery. And the second thing I want to look at today is the Lord's mercy. I believe those two things ought to affect our heart as the children of God. As we look at man's misery, the Bible opens up in chapter number 3 and said, Jeremiah said, "I am the man that has seen affliction and by the rod of his wrath. He hath led me and brought me into darkness and not into light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about. I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and sent me as a mark for the arrow. He caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was in derision. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He also hath broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord." May I remind you this morning, beloved, that this is a side of our Heavenly Father that's not being preached in this generation. There is a country, there is a nation, there is a man that is living under the chastisement of an Almighty God. And I'll tell you, beloved, listen, he's in a miserable place in this chapter and in this book of Lamentations. I want you to know that sometimes, beloved, the misery comes as a result of the chastisement of God. Look in verse 1. "How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How has she become as a widow, she that was great among the nations?" Please, I hope you can draw a parallel. God is drawing a parallel in my heart, beloved, with the nation that we live in. "The princes among the provinces, how she has become tributary. She weepeth sore in the night. Her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers, she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her.
they're become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn because none cometh to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries are the chief. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. You say, Pastor, it's a dark picture that's being painted here. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Listen, if we don't turn once again to our God in this country, you think it's dark, it's only going to get darker. I want you to understand, beloved, that according to the Word of God, Jeremiah's heart is broken, and Jeremiah is weeping over the nation and over the people of Judah. And he understands that there's a God in heaven that's holy. There's a God in heaven that's not happy with their rebellion and with their disobedience. And God is using heathen nations to chastise the people of God. I believe, beloved, listen, that what happened at Judah and Israel, they got too big for their britches. They got to where they thought they could make it on their own. And we need to pray. We need to let what we're seeing affect our heart and pray for this country, amen, and ask God to turn us once again to the God of our fathers. You say, Pastor, how bad was it? Well, if you look in verse number 15 over here, the Bible said, this is chapter 2, verse 15, all that passed by clapped their hands at thee. They hiss and they wag their head at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, watch this. Is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? They're being mocked. I'll tell you, beloved, listen to me. America needs to wake up. God's people need to wake up. There'll come a day, beloved, when this country is mocked by the heathen nations of the world. If we don't realize, beloved, listen, that God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, listen, Jeremiah is saying, listen, what I'm seeing affects my heart. Let me ask you a question, beloved. When you watch the television, does it have any effect on you? You say, Pastor, what do you mean? When you see the youngins at St. Jude, does that have any effect on your heart? When you see the tornadoes, and by the way, let me just say this, all of the misery that comes in a man's life, it's not because of chastisement. You can look in Kentucky, you can look at Mayfield and other cities, beloved, listen, and you can say that tornado just leveled homes and leveled businesses and leveled whole cities. I want you to know, in those homes that were leveled, there was somebody that lived that had no time for God, but there was somebody right next door that loved God with all of their heart and all of their mind. I'm saying sometimes, listen, the judgment comes just because of chastisement, but sometimes it's just because we're living in a sin-cursed world, amen. Sin. Beloved, listen, I believe with all of my heart, the whole creation is groaning to get out from under it. Amen. And looking for that day when Jesus shall come and righteousness shall prevail on the earth. Amen. We see man's misery. If you'll look with me, please, at Psalm chapter 7 and verse number 11. I can't remember right off the bat why I made a note of that, but let's go look at it quickly. I believe that Jeremiah is understanding and seeing clearly the misery of man. And I believe the Lord wants that to affect his heart. He can't help it. And I believe God wants to affect our hearts by what we see as well. Listen to what the Word of God said. I'm trying to find it here. I've got Psalm chapter 7 and verse number 11 is what I want to look at this morning in the Word of God. How many believes today that Jeremiah was a man that, you know, at one time, we'll read it in a little bit, he just felt like quitting. Amen. Did you ever feel like quitting? Did you ever just feel like giving up? Did you ever feel like just throwing in the towel? But there was something that had an effect on him, beloved, that I believe is worthy of looking at. In Psalm chapter 7, verse number 11, the Bible said that God judgeth the righteous. Look at that. And God is angry with the wicked every day. You think about that. Beloved, let me tell you something right now. I've mentioned the tornadoes. I mentioned the children. I mentioned when I look at the soldiers that are coming home without arms and without legs, that are coming home in a casket. When I look at the news and I look at Chicago and I look, there's a little boy that's in his living room getting his hair cut and a bullet comes through the front window. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm just trying to tell you it affects my heart. Amen. You say, Pastor, what's the problem? Is the problem these bullets? Is the problem these guns? Have you not figured it out yet, beloved? Look at the parade. They just got in an SUV and went down the middle of a parade. Are we going to outlaw SUVs? The problem is not the SUV. The problem's not the bullet. The problem's not the gun. Jeremiah knows it. The problem is mankind's heart. His heart is wicked. And God, beloved, wants to change hearts. That's the only way that he's going to make a change in the nation. Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. I believe with all of my heart. You say, Pastor, this is a dark message to start off the new year. Give me a break. I'm not finished yet. Amen. Yes, we're living in dark days. Yes, beloved, our eye ought to affect our heart. We ought to see, beloved, what's going on around us, and it ought to break our heart. Some people's heart will never be broken till it touches their home. Some people's heart will never be broken by somebody that's addicted until that addiction touches their home. But I'm telling you, beloved, we ought to be able to look in somebody else's home and have a broken heart and be thankful it's not in our home. Might be us next. Oh, Lord, help us. Man's misery. Here, beloved, I believe with all of my heart, the Word of God said that righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Sin was a reproach to Israel. Sin was a reproach to Judah. And sin is a reproach in America. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we've put a stamp of approval from the highest on down on sin. But God's never changed his mind about sin. Sin is still sin. And sin will still be judged by the God of heaven that's holy. Amen. You say, Pastor, how are you going to escape the judgment? The only way, beloved, I'm escaping the judgment for my sin is because it was nailed in his body to an old rugged cross. I put my faith in the Lord Jesus that loved me enough to give himself for me. Oh, beloved friend, we see that man is in misery. He shutteth out my prayer in verse number 8. What are you talking about? A miserable condition to want to pray. And beloved, that's coming in the tribulation hour again. The Word of God said they're going to call on God. They're going to flee to the rocks and the mountains. They're going to want to die and can't die. And God is going to mock when their fear cometh. The Word of God said he's going to laugh. Proverbs chapter 1. At their calamity. Look with me if you will, beloved. The Word of God is teaching us in Jeremiah that God, beloved, listen, is aware of the chastening. And Jeremiah is aware of the chastening. The Word of God said he shutteth out my prayer. Look at verse number 44, the same chapter. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud that our prayers should not pass through. I want to say this. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I am. But I know it's true in my life. There have been times in my prayer life when I know the heavens were brass. You say, Pastor, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. Listen to me. You don't have to agree with me. I'll tell you what happened, Brother Preston. I regarded iniquity in my heart. And the Word of God said if we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. I'm telling you, beloved, Jeremiah is weeping. Jeremiah is crying out to God. Jeremiah is longing for the day again when he can fall down on his knees and know that his prayer is going higher than the ceiling, going into the throne room of God once again. Beloved, listen, I believe with all of my heart. Listen, the Bible even teaches in marriage that a husband and a wife are to be married and they're to have fellowship. And the Word of God uses this phrase, that their prayers be not hindered. I want you to know, beloved, listen, there's lots of things that can hinder our prayer life. Amen. And God is speaking here about a man's misery in the book of Jeremiah. The Bible said down here in verse 16, he's also broken my teeth with gravels. I read about this and studied about it, but there was a time in the prison when the bread was made from the sweepings of the granary or the scraps, so that when you got you a piece of bread and bit into it, you were just as likely to get a gravel as to not get a gravel. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, Brother Steve, not living on the scraps. You said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. But many of God's people are living on the scraps that's being swept up off the floor, and they're not enjoying the daily bread. They're not enjoying the bread of life. It's got gravels in it, amen. And I believe with all of my heart, Jeremiah understands what's going on. He sees the misery of man. Let me give you just another thing, and I'll get to the good part. Beloved, I believe with all... Let me just say this to you. You know why a lot of people never get saved? They never get to the bad part. I'm going to tell you something. The law of God's still in that book. And the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. You know when you'll get good and saved? When you get good and guilty. When you realize, beloved, you've sinned against the holy God. And you realize the penalty for that sin is death. Not just death physically, but death spiritually. And separated from God. When a man gets good and guilty, he can get good and saved. He'll run to the Savior, amen. And he'll understand, beloved, listen, he can't get saved by his own righteousness. He's got to have the righteousness that was purchased at Calvary, amen, to save his never dying soul. I'll show you this. You say, preacher, how bad was it? I want you to look in verse 19 of chapter number 2. This really tells you how bad it is. The Word of God said in verse 19 of chapter 2, arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches. Pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward him for the life of the young children, the faint hunger in the top of every street. Now that affects my heart too. When I see a youngin' that's hungry, amen. Look at verse number 20. I want you to look at this. Behold, O Lord, and consider to whom thou hast done this. Shall the women eat their fruit? Y'all know what that's talking about, don't you? Look what the Bible says. Shall the women eat their fruit? At the children of a span long? Shall the priest and the prophet be slain in the sanctuary of the Lord? Look at chapter 4 and verse number 10. The Word of God said there, the hands of the pitiful women have sodden their own children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. I'm telling you what's truth, beloved. I believe it's worse than we could ever imagine. What Jeremiah has seen in the city that he loved, in the Jerusalem that he loved, the city of the great king, is breaking his heart. His eye is affecting his heart. Today, I believe God, listen to me, I believe he wants what we're seeing to affect our hearts. You've got organizations out there, listen to me, that'll make a big deal. I mean a big deal. They'll burn the city down. Because one person that's white, a police officer, will kill one man that's black. You say, now, Pastor, you're fixing to get in over your head. No, 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 no. Where is the concern about every weekend in a city like Chicago, where black people kill black people. You see, I could understand the genuine concern if it was across the board. I don't want any people to be killed. Amen. But I'm just telling you, beloved, it's a facade. I said it's a facade. There's people started this junk and they're getting rich off of it. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. It's going to come out one day and people are going to think they're involved in a good cause, and they're not involved in a good cause at all. You want to get involved in a good cause? Get involved in the cause of Christ. Evangelizing the world. Telling people there's hope in this man called Jesus. Oh, beloved friend, there's the misery of a man, a man's misery. Well, that's the first thing in the message. Let's examine quickly the Lord's mercy. I'm going to tell you something. I didn't mean to say this. I have not always been a Christian. There was a time in my life, Sister Carol, when I was a miserable man. I said a miserable man. Everybody knows my wife. Everybody knows that God gave me a jewel. I said God gave me a jewel. I hope you got one too. Amen. When we first got married, I could come in from work, Brother Steve, and Miss Eve would have dinner on the table. I'm talking about a miserable man. And I'd grab a rifle or a shotgun and throw it over my back and head out. You say, Pastor, I can't imagine you in a shape like that. Honey, it gets a lot worse than that. I ain't going to go into it. I'm telling you, I know what it is to be a miserable man. But I also know what it is to meet the one that can erase the misery and give you peace. I'd come in and she didn't have dinner ready. I'd raise Cain. That's the nice word. Because she didn't have dinner ready. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to talk about? I'm talking about love, beloved. Listen, you can put on whatever you want to put on, but without Jesus down on the inside, you're miserable too. There's only one way, beloved, to escape the misery. And that's Calvary. That's coming to the cross. That's knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. I thank my God, beloved, listen, that the Lord had mercy on a miserable man. And God can have mercy on a miserable nation. God can have mercy on a miserable family. God can have mercy, beloved, on a miserable teenager. I'm telling you, beloved, we need God's mercy. The way this message was birthed in my heart was thinking about the new year. But Brother Don, I don't believe God wants me to think about the new year. He wants me to think about the new day. The new morning. His mercy is new every morning. In other words, I could look way out yonder. The Bible said, take no thought for the morrow. Isn't that what it said? Or I could thank God that I got up this morning and the night's over and I've got a new morning. I tell you, there's a new morning coming for the church of the living God. It's right around the corner. Amen. And I believe with all of my heart, God wants us to see some things here concerning His mercy. You say, Pastor, look in verse 21. This I recall to mind. The Word of God said over there in verse number 18 in chapter 3, I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. It reminds me of Acts chapter 27. All hope that we should be saved was gone. Look what the Bible said. In verse 21, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. There's a hinge in the chapter. Something takes place, and I want us to see it together this morning. The prophet Jeremiah, he sees the mercy, or the misery of mankind. But thank God it doesn't stop there. He sees the mercy of an almighty God. You see, I spent 10 years of my life going into the prisons. I'm talking about men that have done things that you don't even want to repeat. But I'm telling you this, the joy of a man's life preaching the gospel is to understand that that man can find the same mercy that I found. You see, we get it in our heart and in our mind that there's good sinners and bad sinners. If we could ever understand that if a man offends in one point of the law, he's guilty of the whole law. I've wondered at times what it would be like. Three different occasions in my life, I went into the courtroom. The bad part about being a witness in the neighborhood where you live is you think you can slip into the courtroom and slip out. But when you go in, before you even get in, what are you doing in here, preacher? They know I'm not a lawyer. Amen. And I learned this early as a teenager, that if you'll just go and act like somebody and stand there before the judge, most of the time, well, every time, I went three different times, and they cut the fine, and they cut the points, and they just helped me out. You know what I mean? I didn't go in there and say I was innocent. I just went in there and stood up and more or less was hoping for a little mercy. Amen. And Brother Mitchell, he actually told a trooper that one time. He needed mercy. Amen. But I want you to know this. I believe with all of my heart, if a man went in there for a traffic ticket, Brother Doyle, and he's standing before the judge, and it's bad enough just standing there. I mean, I was taught early in life, Brother Grizzle, to respect that authority and to respect that judge and to respect that police officer. We need some teaching like that again in America. Amen. But I could just imagine standing there, and I'm in there for a traffic ticket for a violation, for having a foot that's size 13 and too heavy on the gas pedal. And all of a sudden the judge says to the bailiff, go get the books. What? And he goes and begins to carry out stacks of books. What are they? They're the laws that have been passed. And he begins to read the law and drop his gavel. He reads the law and he drops his gavel. He reads the law and he drops his gavel. He reads the law and says guilty. He reads the law and he says guilty. And he reads the law and he says guilty. And I'm standing there thinking, all I've done is broke the speed limit. I'm going to tell you what, after about four or five of them, my heart's going to be going down. Are you with me? I'm just telling you this, beloved, if you've ever been saved, you know the Spirit of God come to you, beloved, listen, and he read the law and he pronounced you guilty. Not guilty of one little white lie. Amen. He pronounced you guilty of the whole law, and you understood that you were under the judgment of God. You say, Pastor, how does a man find the mercy of God? I'll tell you, it starts with the word recall. He said, this I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. I'm telling you, when I read that word this morning, I thought about the prodigal son. The word of God said down there in the pig pen, the word of God said he came to himself. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, when you'll find mercy, it's when you come to yourself and you agree with God. God, you're right and I'm wrong. You're the Savior and I'm the sinner. And God can help a man. He can help a home. He can help a country that will get on the same page with God. It begins with the word recall. He said, it's of the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed. Jeremiah is saying, it's bad, but I'm still living. He's saying, the country's in bad shape, but I found me some hope because I remembered the one that's the author of all hope. I remembered the one that has mercy in the midst of man's misery. It's of the Lord's mercy we're not consumed because his compassions fail not. I believe Jeremiah is thinking along the lines like this. Brother Randall, we failed you, Lord, but you've never failed us. Our country has failed you, but you've never failed us. I'll tell you, beloved, it'll be a happy day in America if somebody would stand up and say, we have failed the God of heaven, but he's never failed us. Watch this now. He said, they are new because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. We see the word here I wrote in the margin of my Bible, rehearse. Not only do we need to recall, but we need to rehearse. It should be more than just a saying, God is good all the time. I'll tell you what will happen, beloved. There'll be a spirit of revival come up in your heart when you realize, all I've got's a peanut butter cracker, but I don't deserve that. I've got a home in heaven. I don't deserve that. I've got a wonderful wife, and I don't deserve that. I have brothers and sisters in Christ that'll help me bear my burdens, and I don't deserve that. I tell you, we've got so much that we don't deserve. People would ask my daddy, John, how you doing? And daddy would say, better than I deserve. I could say that to every one of you today. You're better than you deserve. You got more clothes than you deserve to have. Amen. You got more to eat than you deserve to have. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, you got a roof over your head and you don't deserve that. But God in his compassion, God in his mercy, we need to rehearse the goodness of God. Recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Rehearse. The Bible said the Lord is good unto them that wait for him. We get in too big a hurry sometimes. We need to wait. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. The Word of God said, wait, I say, on the Lord. What was the scripture in Isaiah? Isaiah 40, 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Sometimes, beloved, we just fail to rehearse the goodness of God. And then the next word, I see it down in verse number, yeah, I'm talking about God's mercy now. Beloved, listen, God will have mercy. But listen what the Word of God said. Look at verse 40. Let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. The next word is repent. You know what, Brother Preston, when the heavens got brass and he wouldn't hear my prayer, you know what I had to do to get him to hear my prayer again? I had to repent, brother. Brother John always used to kid me. I don't even call him and tell him I'm sick anymore. Amen. He'd always say, when I just get over in the corner somewhere and repent, preacher, and you'll get better. That's what he'd say. Everybody needs a friend like that, don't they? Amen. No, Brother Steve said no, Brother John. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It bothers me when it gets to where I don't believe my Father's hearing me. Repent. He said, turn again unto the Lord. Look at it. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto the God of heavens. We have transgressed and have rebelled, and thou hast not pardoned. I'm going to tell you something right now. There's only one way that mankind can say things. Why? There ain't nothing wrong with drinking. Ain't nothing wrong with drugs. Ain't nothing wrong with premarital sex. Ain't nothing wrong with adultery. Ain't nothing wrong with... There's only one way. There ain't nothing wrong with sodomy. There ain't nothing wrong with stealing. As long as you don't steal over $1,000 worth. God help us. There's only one way that mankind can say things like that, is that's in direct rebellion against God. Because God has said otherwise. God has said otherwise. Beloved friend, we see man's misery. That ought to affect our heart. But we see God's mercy. And that, too, ought to affect our heart. I'll close with this verse. The Bible said, mine eye affecteth mine heart because of all the daughters of my city. Take your Bible and turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 20.
and verse number 9. Would you do that, please? Jeremiah chapter number 20. God wants us to recall. God wants us to rehearse. God wants us to repent. And by the way, beloved, I just thought of this. There's a verse in the New Testament that said, "Knoweth not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." That took place right here in this text. Jeremiah realized how good God was. And hope began to boil up in his heart again. And there was a repentance. Watch verse chapter 20 and verse number 9. Well, let me read verse number 7 as well. 7, 8, and 9. Jeremiah's in a bad place. He said, "O Lord, thou hast deceived me. I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart, as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." I've given you three words thus far concerning God's mercy. Recall, rehearse, repent. And the last word God put in my heart was refire. It's not time to retire. It's time to refire. Let God build that fire. If you've ever been saved by the grace of God, you know what it is to have a fire burning in your heart, have a fire burning in your life. I believe with all of my heart, old Slewfoot, he wants to spit on the fire. He wants to pour water on the fire. He wants to stomp out the fire. But I believe God wants us to keep the fire. Keep the fire burning. In the first part of the chapter, please get this, and I'm closing. Jeremiah feels like that God is his adversary. Right? He feels like God is against him. Can I tell you this? I'm talking now about my earthly daddy. I tell everybody, and I say it jokingly, but it's practically true. Mama whooped me every day, and I don't remember one of them. Daddy whooped me 4 times, and I ain't forgot one of them. That's how bad it was. And Daddy would say things like, "Son, I have to do this because I love you." Can I tell you, while it was going on, I thought my daddy was my adversary. I thought he was on the opposing team. That's another thing that's wrong in America. We got parents that would rather be buddies than be parents. He said, "Pastor, I don't like that." It's the truth. Your first obligation is to raise that young'un in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God help us. Jeremiah, in the beginning, he thinks that God is his adversary. But in the end, he understands and he knows that God is his advocate. God is his only hope. God is the nation's only hope. I wonder, Brother Don, when the storm came through, this last one, if maybe there weren't even some of God's people that wondered, is he our adversary? I wonder, when people visit the doctor's office and get that bad news, if sometimes and don't enter into the heart a little bit, I wonder, is God for us or is God against us? You say, Pastor, why would we wonder such things? I tell you why, because we're human. And God knows we're human. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, Jesus. Somebody said, you should never ask why. I take issue with that because the Son of God hung on the cross and cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I believe with all my heart that Jeremiah knows in the end that God is his advocate. He's there for you today. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord as your Savior, I promise you this, he loves you. A man, a woman, a boy, or a girl has come to the age of accountability. They may go to hell unsaved. And if they're unsaved, they will go to hell. But they will never go to hell unloved. God loves you. Jesus has done all he can. He paid the ultimate price on the cross of Calvary for you and for me. Father, thank you today for the Word of God. Jeremiah said, mine eye affecteth my heart. God, sometimes I think we're like the two, I think it was a priest and a Levite that were going down the road, and they saw the man, they saw his condition, but they went down the other side. They went down the other side. Their eye did not affect their heart. But Lord, there was one that came, a Samaritan. He saw the same thing, but he couldn't just keep going. He had to stop. He had to bind up the man's wounds. He poured oil and wine, put him on his beast, took him to the inn, paid the fare. And I pray, dear God, that we wouldn't be a people while our nation goes to hell in a handbasket, that walk down the other side. God, that we would be a people that our eye would affect our heart. Brother Ralph, come, get us a song.